Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shannon Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you'll receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I play Crucible Guard and stare at my Scorn models longingly.
I'm Jay, and...
What do you do longingly, Jay?
I manage.
Longingly?
Oh, yeah.
Turns out resource management is a lot more fun in Euro board games than real life.
Boy, that is true. If your pieces could talk back to you in board games, that would take some of the joy out of it.
Or, what? Like in an ideal world, and actually there are some times when running your own business feels like you're playing a game.
Right, sure.
But
do you hold your money under the table like you do at Power Grid?
No, yes. I don't do that at all.
It's all hidden knowledge.
But yeah, sometimes I wish it felt more like a worker placement game.
Yeah, place this worker here, get out what you know is on the board, tells you it's going to happen.
Yeah,
Good board game designer should design a worker placement where the workers have personality and
or
potential personality conflict.
See, you spin the wheel and there's like a 70% chance that you'll get the outcome you want.
Euro gamers don't like that, Josh.
That's true.
They don't like the randomized output.
Well, that's why we know it's a simulation. I'm Josh. I build ever more elaborate and bizarre minions lists that I don't ever play with.
I did have an idea, though. I'm gonna sell this idea right here on the air. Somebody's making a Euro. Have like a deck of cards that has like personalities on them. And anytime you hire a worker in your worker placement, just pull one. You know that from there on out, that's their personality.
I mean, really what you should do is you should be allowed to ask 2 to 3 questions. And each question will reveal a portion of the card, but there will be a surprise mystery. I mean, if you really wanted to sell it as a legacy, you know, have it be one of those scratch-off cards, right?
So
you can find out some things that you think you know about that personality. Then it's scratch-off time!
Okay, well, why don't we talk about the Chain Attack community builders?
Let's do that. That sounds like a great pledge. This week's Community Builder post is on running events for your local community. Official nominations for people who have gone above and beyond to selflessly run events in the community can be posted here. Now, we had some great nominations. The nomination that I've selected has followed many of the important rules to suck me in, and I will tell you about that in just a moment, but had a lot of great responses to this nomination also. So, this nomination was presented by Glenn Connaught, not cannot, that's Connaught. There's probably a different way to pronounce that, but there you go. Glenn would like to nominate Matthew Terry, the bright star of the Fayetteville, North Carolina meta. He has organized game nights, game days, and local events everywhere he has lived, and his latest beneficiaries are the Fayetteville, North Carolina War Machine and Hordes players and surrounding communities. He organizes his local game store game night and takes the time to teach new players, volunteers to host events at his own home, and he's brought countless droves of players into the game, including myself. Glenn mentions that Matthew made sure 2 of his local players had an opportunity to make it to the Nova Open this year, made sure they had a place to stay in the hotel, and got them signed up for events like Speed Machine and Breakfast Machine. And they will definitely be going back next year. That really is above and beyond right there to like help people, have a great con experience.
Yeah, that's way more than I would ever
anyway,
do.
Anyway, Glenn goes on to laud Matt's accomplishments even more, talking about him building tables and terrain for his local game store, including a specially designed table for one player in their meta who's wheelchair bound.
Oh, nice.
So, like, super cool.
Yeah.
And then Glenn capped it off with a Dank Dune meme.
This better be a bonus one, because...
It's a bonus.
Okay. So, yeah.
It is an amazing little kitty in a sock with the blue melange eyes. And he says, I are Dune Cat. I controls the spice. I controls the universe.
What was the name again?
Matthew Terry. So good job, Matthew Terry. Tell him what he'll be receiving, Jay.
$50 and suggested retail of Privateer Press product.
Oh, wow. There's a picture of all the tables, including the...
Yeah. Like I said, there's some amazing response.
There's some... You should... If you have not found that thread as a listener, you should go look at it. There's some cool stuff there.
Yeah, I mean, you need to see Spice Kitty.
Yeah, Spice True. Kitty yeah. as well.
Or Dune Cat, I mean, sorry.
So what is the next one?
The next... Oh, so next week's... Let's see. Will be Sportsmanship. Official nominations for people who exemplify sportsmanship in all aspects of play. Now, we do have one that's been posted. We have only one nomination so far, so get in there and compete. Fight for my love. Oh, sorry. I usually say that to my children. Now I must find my non-bonus Dank Dune meme. Oh, wait. It's on here.
Okay, so...
Is it Dank Dune meme time, or do you have one?
I'll talk about new exciting things coming out with Muzon Minis.
Oh, excellent.
And Discount Games Inc. So with Muzon Minis, we have our Signar officially licensed Steamroller zones now available. Very exciting.
Like, when I see those zones, I'm waiting for Nick Fury to drop from a helicarrier and try to steal state secrets.
Huh? Why is that?
Cool. They just look that cool, and like the way the kind of the lighting effect coming in the sides, you know, on the swan and stuff.
Yeah, I was pretty pleased with how with the job Nigel did on those. They look pretty cool. Then a few other things with Muzon Minis. You can get... we have our other Steamroller zones. We have our Infernals token set. We have some new fire and corrosion sets. Some like crouching, some aim sets. Just new stuff coming out all the time. For Discount Games Inc., we have still have Warcry and Infernal starter boxes that are in stock that both qualify for the deals Too Good to Be Mentioned.
Oh.
There's also a new core box coming out for Warhammer Underworlds called Beast Graves. And it's kind of the...
Didn't it replace Shadespire or whatever?
Yeah, Night Vault and Shadespire.
Okay.
This is the fourth round of...
Oh, that's what
third,
it is,
I believe.
Basically. Okay.
Third core box.
Are you sure?
So it's that game. Each
Pretty
core
positive.
Box has like different armies in it, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's supposed to be around like a 20-30 minute game that's kind of a mix cross between a board game and a miniatures game.
Yeah.
So that is the new hotness from them, from Privateer Press. One of the things that's kind of cool about Privateer Press right now is that they have a good stream of every month.
Yeah,
they
wasn't Dreadfane the third one? I'm sure it's the fourth.
Good radio happening once again.
Yeah, sorry.
It's my favorite kind of radio.
Anyway.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway.
Fantasy.
It's a fun game. You should buy in. Sorry, Jay.
He's sidetracked you.
Yeah, I was saying something. Oh, one of the things that's cool with Privateer Press is that each month, there's going to be War Machine models coming out, Riot Quest models coming out, and Monster Apocalypse models coming out. And so there's a good mix of things to perk your interest available.
That's nice.
So
also, I noticed that Magic Horror Legacy is on your shelves.
It is.
For board gamers out there.
I've never played.
You never played Machi Koro?
Uh-uh.
Machi Koro is Settlers of Catan, grew up, went to college, got hot. Right?
I think that's a little loose and wild with the description, but sure. There are dice. You do roll them. There are numbers on cards.
What resources you receive.
Yeah, okay. That's about where the similarities end.
Fine, there's no roads.
Okay.
You can't easily muscle someone out of a particular card.
Oh, you don't know that now, though.
You mean a legacy? Yet, yeah. Like the sevens.
Can you have wood for sheep?
No.
There's no trading, is there?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, no trading.
Thank God.
That is what slows Catan down.
That's one of the things. Right. That's one of the things that ruins the game.
Yeah.
Really, what I need are more auctions in my life. It feels like auctions have kind of gone out of vogue as a Euro mechanic.
Mm, you do love you some auctions.
I do.
I was going to say, what about Bargain Quest? But I don't think it's
press
an auction.
My luck.
Have you seen Bargain Quest? You literally run a shop in like a town where adventurers
come
through before they go to the dungeon.
Okay.
And you're like putting goods on display in your shop to try to get the adventurers to come in and purchase, you know, like your Vorpal butter knife or whatever.
Sure.
Know? Anyway, it sounds cool. I haven't played it yet.
Is it, you know, is it bidding down to lowest price?
It has drafting in it.
Drafting. That's all I'm sold.
Yes.
Josh and I are the drafting fans.
This is great radio, but remind me when we're off the radio.
Okay.
That I have a list of pre-release board games that we can get for the board game convention.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To potentially get some hype.
3 weeks?
Yeah, it's not far. So.
It's less than that, I think.
2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Closer.
That sounds right. The best part is I have to go to Denver like the 2 days before the board game con and come back. Like, I mean, I'm back on the 10th, but I'll be back.
Good times.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll be recovered from us.
Oh, that's the week after your guys' anniversary.
Yeah.
I plan my life real good. Hey, I'll be in the middle of campaign season.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Vote Wheeler.
I don't know if I've ever said this on air, but Brian was very cunning in scheduling our wedding.
Okay.
Because I'd never been to Disneyland or Disney World before I met Brian.
Okay.
And it was really important to him. And so one year we went together to Gay Days, and it was my first trip to Disneyland. And then we just got engaged, and he said that he wanted us to get married on the first weekend of October at Disneyland during Gay Days. And I was like, at that point, I'd only ever been to Disneyland once.
The one time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know that I want to do that. Let's get married somewhere else. But he was very adamant. Like, no, we need to do it. Gay Days, the first weekend of October in Disneyland. And so now.
Now he leverages that to go back to Disneyland every year.
Every year, that's our anniversary trip.
Yeah, right. No, that makes sense.
So.
Yeah, Larry and I were less cunning since we got married on the 19th of December, which is like right before Christmas.
Right, yeah.
Forget about it. Forget about doing anything trip or anniversary related. It's just too close.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so.
No one can blame Brian of
lack of cunning.
Yes.
Wiliness.
Okay, so. We need a dank doom meme. I need a dank doom meme today, Josh.
You do?
Yes.
All right. Here's what I have for you. It says, I don't know what this thing is. Sorry.
Best radio ever.
This thing entertains me. It's so stupid. It just says cultural impact. And then it has like five bars, you know, like it's the sound is pumped all the way to the top, right? The bar goes all the way to the top and it says the worms. And then it has a tiny little non-existent bar that says the Beatles. And then it just has a giant picture of sandworms. Stupid.
What?
It's suggesting that the worms have greater cultural impact than the Beatles, Trevor.
Oh, I full on agree.
I'll do a bonus one. So here we go. This is This is such an awful audio one, but on the left there is Donald Trump just talking, and on the right is, I don't even know her name.
This is super fresh, dude. It's Greta Thunberg, I believe.
Yes, you are correct. So I would say little girl, but that's condescending.
Famous climate activist.
Yes.
Adolescent.
Fair.
Is perhaps slightly less condescending.
Okay. And she's got like a look on her face of like, she's got like a puckered mouth to the side and is like, I'm going to kill you. Is basically the look of what she's trying. It looks like she's shooting off. And the caption is the look Alia gave the Baron right before she gave him the Atreides Gamja bar. I'm so sorry. It brings so much joy to my life, though.
Okay, so by the way, this is a new, I just have to say, actually, whatever, it's my Shillmaster moment. I'm really about to purchase right here on the air the Oblivion campaign series.
Are you serious?
I'm so excited about it. I mean, we were. I really want to listen to it, and Jay did a really good job on the music.
I do feel inordinately pleased with the intro and outro music of this. I can't really.
It's really good.
I mean, it's.
I'm checking out right now, Trevor.
Okay.
Basically,
I'll get the notification over here on my phone.
Basically, if you like Dank Doom memes, then you're gonna love the intro and outro music. It's about that level of quality. No, that's not true. It's actually music intended for an audio format. So
yes, it's definitely a few steps above the Dank Doom meme. I'm waiting right now, Trevor. I pressed purchase.
It's gonna send you to PayPal.
Oh man. Okay, fine.
Log so
to PayPal. Here we go.
I did want us to actually have the first segment here be talking about the Oblivion campaign and of our experience doing it.
I'm here to help, Jay.
Okay, appreciate
it. The Shieldmaster's here to bring smooth segues for you.
So one of the things I want to do is I don't want us to necessarily repeat the content that we have in the limited series, but maybe talk some about what we thought of the experience.
So just so people are aware, this is your first episode of Chain Attack, and I don't know why you jump in now, but let's just say you did. We've been working on a...
Let's go even farther back. Once upon a time, there was a podcast called Chain Attack. And when they started, they did battle reports.
Oh, yeah, that used to be intro. I forgot.
They would grade casters. And
we should have thrown a bonus episode of creating the casters we played.
Well, we should have graded the scenarios is what we should have done.
Then I would have to come up with new categories.
Brother. Why would that have stopped us?
So we decided...
My purchase is complete, Trevor.
We decided we wanted to go back to our roots and do some battle reports. And the ones we did it on is the new Oblivion campaign set that just released.
Dude, if I could do the In a World for every battle report, I would make us go all the way back to battle
reports. And so we completed 11 episodes. They're in a podcast series. You can purchase them. They are a digital download. So when you purchase them, they're not going to show up on our site or any other place. It's going to send you an email with some links in it. And you can click on those links in your phone, and they'll open up the file in your browser or whatever, and you can listen to them that way if you'd prefer. There's also a zip file that has all the episodes in it, whatever you prefer. But don't delete the email you get, because that's the way you get the links. There's no account login or anything like that. Anyway, you can get there. There's a link at the top of our webpage called chainattack.tv, which has all of our digital downloads. And so you can go there and download that stuff. A bunch of our downloads I've taken away because they're not relevant anymore. But this year I just got the email from Josh. You can go download the Oblivion series. Or if you'd like, the one I did leave up was our... Getting personal series, which I've discounted down to $15 because it's ancient now.
Which is still one of your favorite pieces.
Honestly, for me, it's probably some of the best podcasting I've ever done in my entire podcasting career, which isn't saying much. I mean, that's a pretty low bar, but I think there's some really great stories in there. It's some amazing stuff.
I'm starting up listening to episode one of the Oblivion series right now. Soon my face will become ecstatic because I'll hear Jay's intro music.
give a little tease off out of your AirPods.
I don't think there's any way the mic will pick that up. I mean,
there's no way that'll work, will it?
No, I'm saying turn off your AirPods.
Oh, okay. Where does it come out at?
The bottom.
Yes. I feel like I'm watching Star Wars when I listen to that series. It's so good.
Okay, so... I should say, at the start of every episode, Josh wrote a little fluff blurb about the episode. And it's all in a world where blobbity blue is blickety blap.
That should have been one of them.
So
okay, I'll stop listening now. I'm gonna laugh.
I will say that
I'm so ridiculous.
I had a lot of fun doing this. There's some people that anytime you put something up for sale, there's people who are detractors or upset over or whatever. And I will say that if we didn't do it as a limited series where we were charging some extra money for it.
Yeah, it would have never happened.
It would not have happened.
Yeah, you have to understand that we are have limited time. We have limited ability to be able to accomplish these things.
There were multiple times where, like, Josh and I were up at 4:30 in the morning playing this, or 5. And
it's not reflected in my performance at all.
Yeah, we went a little bit out of the way to make sure to get this done so that we could share with...
And if we didn't do, you know, this $20 limited series, I think we still would have played the Oblivion campaign set and so would have had a good time.
Oh, I think
it would have taken much longer.
It would have taken months and months for us to get through it.
It's funny because one thing you were going to say that I don't think I say in the series is that the way that this campaign kind of lets you roll into longer games, you know, start out shorter, is pretty brilliant for me, for old man me, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, oh yeah, we just need a little bit of a commitment here up front. Oh, dude, this is only 25 points, Josh. Oh yeah, you could do that. You could do 35 points, right, Josh? Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the complaints that some people have had in the past is that they felt like it was, you know, core Chain Attack material, and they wanted it, but they felt like they were paying double for it because they were already Dojo subscribers or whatever. And you know what? I can understand the way you feel. I don't necessarily agree. But in this particular situation, if you decide you don't want to purchase it, it's not Chain Attack core material. You're not going to be missing anything that's mandatory listening for Chain Attack.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But I do think that it's fun. I think that it's worth the money. And I think it's if you're thinking about playing an Oblivion campaign, I think it's worth your time. So
I'm going to be listening to it on my next flight to Denver.
So one of the things I'm considering doing with my split of the money.
Yeah.
Is so I'm the person who edits the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And occasionally that means that. So in general, that means that I run it through filters and splice in music and stuff like that. But occasionally I make the mistake and hear my own voice as I'm doing this. And I think it's just true for all people. They kind of hate how their own voice sounds when they hear the recording
of
it. It's
almost like the audio version of the Uncanny Valley in a way, right?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
It's like seem weird to yourself.
And so part of... I have a friend who lives in Salt Lake, and he's a big fan of D&D.
Okay.
And because of his love of role-playing, he tried getting in a improv troupe.
Yeah.
And he also took voice lessons to try to get into...
For voice acting specifically, right?
Yeah. Specifically to try to help him be better at getting into this improv troupe that he was wanting to get into. And so there's a part of me now that's tempted to, like, get voice lessons just because I feel like I spend so many hours podcasting at this point that... It feels kind of justified.
I will admit that every time I say on air,
yeah,
I hear my high school speech teacher in the back of my head.
Slapping you with a ruler right there?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, I need to like get a rubber band that I start flicking myself every time.
When I was taking speech and doing the speech type things consistently, and I was in theater in high school and stuff like that.
You got better.
I was way better than I am now.
That's funny.
Certainly back in the day, I mean, this has been a long time ago on Chain Attack, but back when Brian was the producer, and he would just like give you the death stare every time he heard you say because he went through and edited out the ums. I got much better at it during that time period as well. But the years have gone by and the
age is catching up.
Yeah, sure.
It's funny that you're suggesting that, Jay. I remember there was a Twitter thread a few weeks or months ago that was like, if money were no issue and you could just have a dream job,
what
would it be? And like one of my good buddies and me, I was both like, I would love to be a voice actor. You know, read audiobooks, that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. So I have considered voice lessons before, like same kind of thing.
I mean, let's be honest here. We spend enough time on these effing mics. We have enough subscribers that I don't know why we're not doing it.
Yeah, that's true. It's a fair point. We just have never connected to that industry yet. I could justify it as a campaign expense at this point, probably.
Yeah, you probably could.
One of my campaign promises, well, you're right, I wouldn't do it that way, but one of my campaign promises is that I'm only going to deliver a YouTube video after every city council meeting to kind of give like
a summary synopsis.
High points. Here was my perspective. Here's some action items. You know, citizens, go out and mm-hmm. write a letter. You know, channel your rage in this direction. Right? Like, so we'll see how that goes. But again,
what's this? I mean, what's this modern stuff? I mean, you're a politician. You're supposed to be stuck in the 70s.
It's part of why I can make this campaign promise and have it seem unique.
Yeah, that's
fair. Shouldn't feel unique.
I know,
at this
but
point.
It is. Like, it's.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I know it is. But it shouldn't be. That's the sort of stuff that we're well past at this point.
I mean,
point.
And the funny thing is, like, no comment on the politics themselves, but our current president, like, he clearly tapped into that modern phenomenon. Yeah. You know, like,
well, he wasn't the first. I think Obama really.
I guess he did. He did a lot too. That's true. But anyway, so yeah, it is kind of funny that as you get to that level, clearly that you know.
It has an effect.
Yeah, yeah.
It allows people to.
And actually, part of what made me think of it is that I was telling you about that podcast I listened to about Elizabeth Warren's campaign.
Okay, yeah.
How she's doing like selfies mm-hmm. and all the people that come to meet right. her, you know. I'm like, yeah, we got to. Anyway, my campaign manager and I.
Modernized,
like,
yeah.
Let's use this modern stuff. Like,
yeah.
So, again, I could justify voice lessons too, Jay. If you do them, I would totally want to know how they are.
I looked up prices online and it wasn't too crazy.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, you can just do it wherever.
And there's my friend in Salt Lake, he had a local teacher that he worked with.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think I'm going to find that in Idle Falls.
Yeah, no, that's true. That seems pretty niche.
You might.
Yeah, you might be correct.
Yeah, I think there's probably more people available than you think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that different than like a singing instructor or something like that.
Correct.
And
right. That's interesting.
Okay. Anyways, I've also thought about upgrading the mics here, but
we just upgraded the mics like 2 years ago.
I should have you look at the.
I think that time flows differently when you're old.
Yeah. No, these.
I think he's right.
I picked these mics out when we went to season 2. It's been 3+ years.
Okay.
I know. These are sure mics. I can tell you exactly what they are. I guarantee I picked them out right at the beginning of season 2.
I love it. I love this conversation.
So, back to Oblivion.
Okay. Yes.
What stood out to you guys about the campaign?
Ease of entry. And this is something funny about like games and especially board games.
Actually, let me pause 1 second. We'll get back to that. Okay. Let's say that someone doesn't know anything about Oblivion. What would you give as your information on it / sales pitch on why they should be interested in it, if at all?
I think I would say that In This Box is a new way for you to enter. This person that you're describing to me, they already like War Machine and Horde.
Sure, they like War Machine, but they don't know anything about Oblivion.
This is a new way for you to interact with the game that you enjoy, War Machine, and frankly, like the Infernals, potentially suck in additional souls to the void that is this game. Because I just feel like it.
I don't think that came out the way you wanted.
So let me try my sales pitch. Okay. And you can.
I mean, that's
you can grade it.
That is more your career than mine.
And
so
we'll see. Maybe I'm not sure how good I am at it. But I guess we all have self doubts. So the Oblivion box set, it comes with a rules digest that has some cleaning up of the rules and some streamlining.
Okay.
It comes with the Hermit of Henchhold, which is a model that works for every faction. And it has some great abilities for every faction. And then finally, it comes with a campaign book that has fluff or story things that are going on around the release of the invasion of the Infernals. And along with that, there's also in that book, there's two more components. The first one is the kind of the remix of the theme forces. And right. So if you want a physical collection of the various theme forces, that's in there. And the rules on the changes to theme forces, it has that. And then it also has the Oblivion campaign, which it has kind of two parts. The first is it's intended to be kind of a new structure that Privateer Press can use to run future content or future campaigns with. And so this first one that released, it comes in this box and it is something that you can play through with a friends, 2 to 4 players, and it has 10 scenarios that it has kind of a tree that you, as you win a match, you could go to one scenario. As you lose, you'll go to a different one. And in the future, they will release free campaigns online that you'll use some of the assets that you have in this book, in that camp, or in this box set.
Right.
As example of which, one of the things that you use in the campaign is something called omen cards. And the omen cards are something that you would use in any campaign that comes out for free in the future. And one of the things that's cool about the campaign is that instead of being, it's kind of a new way to play the game. It is, has an emphasis on narrative, things going on. It's not basically like 10 new steamroller scenarios.
Right, yeah.
It's, here's what's happening in the story, and you could have wildly different.
Yeah, the story blurbs are different depending on which path your campaign goes. So
yeah.
It's definitely, if you've ever wanted a War Machine campaign that had self-built-in progression as far as what the winners get and what
the effect what of the a effect winner of, loss
yeah,
is.
Yeah, the effect of a winner loss is. If you've always wanted to play in that sort of thing, but you could never figure out how to make it work for you without, you know, going through hours and hours of your own personal game development time, this is a product that's being hand-delivered to you to provide that experience. I think that's its biggest boon, I guess, is that this is, compared to how much time it would take you to create your own, it's a cheap purchase, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And you're getting the other things that Jay talked about, but the core campaign, I think, is just something that people have been looking for a long time.
One of the things I was going to say, one of my favorite board game podcasters is the Shut Up and Sit Down podcast.
Okay.
And they review Pandemic Legacy.
Okay.
And talk about what a great job it does of telling a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mainly just with the mechanics and tiny little text blurbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, this Oblivion campaign does that almost same thing, because I felt like the scenarios told the story, you know, as you went along and had the little blurbs. So that for me was a lot of the fun of it that I don't remember if I talked about in the limited series or not, but
here's one comment I'd be curious on your guys's take on. I guess before I do that, what's your critique of my summary of?
Oh, incredibly thorough.
So, oh,
like I mean, I already bought it, didn't I?
That's true. one of the common complaints I've heard people say online is, you know, all I want from this box set is the Hermit model.
Is the Hermit, right.
And
which frankly is, like, to me, now having played through it, obviously, is the lesser of the gains from the box.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that it's something that people are going to use for a long time.
Yeah,
and that's a cool thing. But I mean, if you're going to spend this money, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to put together a group and, you know, play
there,
some. And you may end up house ruling some stuff because it's, you need to fit it to your play style or whatever. That's cool.
But it feels like bare minimum, this is going to give you like a great month of your life.
So their
complaint
about it is usually summarized as, I don't care about the rules digest. It's free online, and the printed one has mistakes in it already anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And my local meta doesn't care about narrative stuff. All we do is steamroller, and we're not going to do the campaign. And so really all I care about, and also I don't care about fluff. And so all I want is this Hermit, which I'm going to make a proxy of. Right. I do have, what would be your response to that, I guess?
I mean, my response would be, I think you're missing out. I think you're missing out on an opportunity to reinvigorate your steamroller only playing meta, to attract additional players. I feel like the Oblivion campaign set is a community building tool.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You know,
I guess I will say that, like, I'm not going to tell anyone that their opinion is wrong
right.
on that. I mean, if
they don't want to play, they don't have to play.
Right. If you don't want to buy this box set, then don't.
Yeah.
All I'll say is that I think that Privateer Press did a fantastic job on the product.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when we did a fluffisode earlier and I only did like 10 pages of the fluff.
Yeah.
and I enjoyed what we went through. So that was good. I think that also, I get it. I've been there. You know, there's a lot of people who, all they want to do is like win a steamroller or
right.
be competitive or whatever. And like I said, I can understand that. I guess one thing, a few thoughts on that, on trying out a narrative campaign. The first one is kind of what you said, Josh, is that it can help your community to shift things up sometimes.
Right.
And a lot of times, if you are a competitive player, you will have an easier time becoming a good player if you have a good meta.
Yes.
And if you have
an
active, lively meta.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so doing some things like this can help your meta. Another thing I'll say is that there's a lot of times where if you are so focused on being competitive that you can get burnout or wear out.
Yep.
And so throwing in some things like this can,
it's a palate cleanse.
Yeah, it can help with that. And then another thing I'll say with it is that it feels to me like the timing of it is pretty good, in that at least in the United States, there's kind of in February, the Las Vegas Open starts, and that's kind of the start of the competitive season. And that goes until the start of November, which is Warfare Weekend. And then there's kind of a break in competitive play from like middle of November until the middle of February.
Yeah, I mean, why not spend the holidays ushering in oblivion?
Exactly.
Ushering in the end of the world. yeah. I think that they should, if they really want to play Steamroller scenarios, I would probably find a way to house rule Steamroller scenarios in with some added.
Well, that's an interesting thought.
I mean, like I said, I feel like this is a framework and you can make it work for you. If you don't want to, that's fine. But I think you should at least consider it.
See, what Jay's points have made me think about, I got to sit in a presentation last week by, I can't think of his last name, John Androsnik, the singer that is Five for Fighting. Superman, I Can't Stand to Fly, I'm Not That Naive. Those are the songs he's famous for.
Okay.
And he's talking about the creative process and, you know, getting better at writing songs and that type of stuff. And one of the things he said is it's important sometimes to change your environment, to be somewhere different, you know, and then you'll get different perspective. You'll kind of, it's, you know, you'll get a refresh. I mean, that's kind of what I meant by palate cleanser.
Right? Sure, yeah,
I feel
like
you do something like this and you'll have spent a few scenarios, a few matches, thinking a little differently. And then you'll take that back with you into your...
One of the things that happens during the series is that we, without too much spoilers, is we explore some units that we normally wouldn't try. And I think that's something that people may come out of the campaign and go, you know what? I might be able to stick that in this Steamroller list.
Right,
sure.
Right.
Because it's a different perspective on those units.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is an opportunity for competitive play right now is that I think that a lot of the competitive lists have prematurely calcified themselves, and that if you are willing to open up your frame of mind or things that you're looking at, especially in some of the bigger factions, that there's casters, there's units, there's styles of play that aren't being explored, aren't being used, that if you did do that, I think would have some pretty good results.
Yeah, that's cool. I think that's a great point.
So any final thoughts on Oblivion or the limited series?
I might learn how to edit just so I can get supercuts of all the inner worlds one night after another. That's the real reason I bought the series.
Obviously.
What's next, Jay?
Well, I think we were going to talk some about some WTC lists.
Yes, I've come more prepared this time.
Oh, really?
Than last time.
Yeah,
you know, a little bit.
Okay, well, why don't you start us off then?
Okay, well, I want to talk about a list that Ireland Swift is bringing. The player is Charlie Healy. I actually kind of want to talk about both his lists, but I will talk first about his Lord Carver BMMD Esquire III list, because I just want to play Lord Carver is really what this comes down to. So here is the list. It's in Thornfall Alliance, of course. Lord Carver, 6 Razor Boars, a Roadhog, a Warhog, and Targ. Then his three requisitions are spent on Hutchuck, Linus Arissal, and Maximus. Then he has Rorsch and Brine, Max Feral Brigands with a Warlord, and a Meat Thresher. So I've built this list in War Room, and I'm like sitting here drooling over it.
And what excites you about this list, other than it is
Carver? Yeah. Well, I was trying to decide if you could get some good work out of either Quagmire or probably Quagmire with the. I was trying to figure out what he's doing with the Meat Thresher, you know, because I hadn't in whatever list I built with Carver. That's not one I've considered. I've not considered putting a Meat Thresher in it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
which it seems like you should just do, right? But this thing feels like it'll be very mobile with Lanissa, you know, Hutchuck, ambushing, get Maximus in there. And then, you know, Rorsch and Brian, Ninja Pig is still Ninja Pig. But I was just trying to decide, like, what do you think the Meat Thresher might do with Carver that I've not thought about?
It would probably thresh things.
I mean, Quagmire on it is kind of cute.
How does that work with with Bulldoze is what I was going to say, but.
Well, I don't remember all of what it does, but it seems like being able to, because when does it get the knockdown?
That's interesting. It gets the knockdown with its melee weapon.
When it hits?
Yeah, let's double check that. Let's see. That is high impact. No, let's see. No, knockdown. When a model is hit by an attack with this weapon, yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes knockdown.
So if he moves into base to base with it, he gets, I mean, essentially +2 to hit it to guarantee that it's knocked down. And I don't know that it's all that great, but I do think that it gives him a ranged presence that helps quite a bit and allows him to kind of reduce the amount of resources that he needs to use. But I honestly don't know without seeing it. It's kind of hard to determine how people use this stuff sometimes. You look at it and you're like,
right.
I have no clue what you're doing with that. But then sometimes you see it on the table and you're like, well, I don't think you do either. Or, wow, that's really cool.
Well, it's kind of interesting, too, that like the Meat Thresher would actually give Lanissa stealth on the advance because she has prowl.
Oh, I missed that part. Does it do the steam thing? Like,
yeah, it does exhaust fumes when it advances during its normal movement. Yeah, that's pretty nice, too. One round of other friendly models gain concealment while within 3 inches of the model. So, like, being able to deliver her and then having her put a hunter's mark on, well, anything, honestly, with this list just feels like it will come from way far away. So, my hope is that Charlie Healy crushes all.
I don't think we're confused on that.
And you're on your hopes.
Yeah. Can you read us the mercenary theme force for Soldiers of Fortune, Josh?
This is Mercs, you're saying?
Yeah.
Mercenaries. Okay. So Soldiers of Fortune. Ooh, let's see. Gosh, I gotta learn to scroll faster. Okay. So an army made. Oh, you just want the benefits, Jay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, special rules, if Ace is included in the army, it's a friendly mercenary model instead of a Signar Warjack. Solos in the army gain marked target, meaning other friendly faction models gain +2 to range attack rolls against enemy models within 5 inches of a model.
You say solos target. Gain marked target?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then steelhead cavalry models in the army gain bulldoze.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting.
So, here is the list that I was kind of interested in, one of them.
Okay.
So this is from USA East, and the player is Danny McGeehan. And
he sounds like he should be in Ireland Swift.
Nope.
Okay.
He
caster.
It's interesting. He's playing double Soldiers of Fortune lists.
Okay.
The first one is an Ostrom list that he's playing in Soldiers of Fortune.
That's when you're talking about.
Then? No, the one we're going to talk about. He has Fiona 1. With a blockader, whatever.
Oh, okay.
A punchy McFist punchy.
Yes. Rocket fist and sprays. Silas Wishnailer. And then Alexia 2, Alton Ashley, Sergeant Nicholas Verendry, Stannis Brocker, a Steelhead Ironhead, a Steelhead Cannon Crew, a Min Steelhead Halberdiers, 2 max Steelhead Halberdiers, and then Steelhead Heavy Cavalry max.
Steelhead. Okay.
All the Steelhead. Yeah, so, okay. What do you guys think of that?
How many infantry models are there?
There is a lot.
He has a max Steelhead Cav, 2 max units of Halberdiers, and a min unit of Halberdiers.
So, 31... Plus all the
solos.
Stuff.
What were his requisitions, Jay?
Alexia 2, Alton Ashley, and Stannis Brocker.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those lists that I probably wouldn't want to see because I'm certain there's so many solos in there that I'm going to get gotcha'd at some point during the game. Because
they all have like different like, crazy unique abilities and stuff, you're saying?
Yeah, and at some point something bad is going to happen and I'm going to be like...
Oh, that just happened.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, well, okay.
It is interesting... I guess I'm just on a Fiona the Black kick, or she's
pretty good.
Has my interest, and so different takes on her intrigue me.
So she's maxing out the Mark Target benefit basically with the Blockader, right?
He doesn't have...
Doesn't he have... Oh, he has sprays, huh? So Mark Target won't help him?
Those, yeah, no, those will work.
It's range attacks.
Okay, okay.
But generally, that's...
I was just trying to find out what's his other range attacks. I mean, Alton Ashley, I guess.
Alton Ashley, and he has a cannon crew.
Oh, that's right. Which is range 14.
Yeah.
I don't think he's taking full advantage of it anyway, but I don't think that that matters.
Okay.
His other list has Dez in it, just so you know.
I like her. She's pretty.
She's so good.
Just to twist the knife into Trevor a little bit more.
Someone needs to sell me theirs.
I'd love to sell you Dez.
Yeah, you'd sell it to me in a box with a bunch of other shit that I don't need.
Or do you?
I keep telling you, I'll take those minion models off your hands, Trevor. What? So you were saying, Jay, that you're fascinated with Fiona the Black. What does she do for this list? Like, man, occultation...
One of the things that I think would end up happening is that I think that he would likely try to work it so that his Colossal ends up being kind of an anchor piece. And I think with, especially with her feet, that seems pretty feasible. I don't know. What do you, how do you guys think it would likely play out?
Oh, in other words, you could put it up there, feet, and people would have a hard time taking it out, right?
Well, or you try to get a lot of work done with... The still head,
right,
and feet, and then by the time everything
her feet has always been ball busting. Yeah, it's just been the rest of the package, and so, I think she's so now
ball busted with a big tar pit.
Right, like she's had some big upgrades.
She's had some big upgrades. She's one of those casters that I'm a little bit weary
scary,
of now.
Huh? She's
yeah,
scary.
We've always in the past kind of mocked her, and we've always gotten a little bit of hate mail from the huge fans. But I've never seen it been like reproduced on the table. Never ever seen it to the point where I was afraid of it. I am now afraid of her. Like, this is something that you look at and go, okay, well, I don't really know how I'm going to deal with her feet turn other than get kicked in the jimmy twice in a row.
Right. One other thing I think I like about it is that it feels like he could pretty easily... One of the things we've talked about in the podcast or also in dojos is that it's useful to have parts of the list that can be kind of independent of each other.
Right.
And it feels to me like he could peel off... A min heads. Unit of the still heads or a max unit and maybe the max cav as well. And they could go take over one of the flanks of the board.
Especially
if you're playing one of the, if you're playing one of the spread out scenarios and just be able to have a good independent part of the list. So I do like that about the list as well. Did you have another one, Josh?
I do have another Minions one. I was interested.
Obviously, yes.
Like you said, I am... Okay, before I do my Minions one, I actually had a cock list I wanted to ask you guys about. But I just don't know squat. But it just feels like nobody's playing Convergence very much anymore. Is that true?
I wouldn't say nobody, but certainly there are a lot less.
Okay. So this is a Clockwork Legion list. Oh, shoot. I have no idea who's playing them. I took a picture of it. I'll go back and find that in a minute. So tell me what this thing is going to do. That's what I'm really curious about. So this is with Father LeConte, two conservators, uses a requisition for a corollary and two diffusers, and then has two galvanizers. Then it has two algorithmic dispersion optifexes, four Enigma foundries, a frustum locus, the Hermit of Hengehold, and then two max units of obstructors and a max unit of reciprocators. So
let me look at the list.
I know this isn't going to bring back like convergence recursion like we had in, was that Mark II still? The Axis had like crazy.
Mark III is still did it.
Oh, okay. I should have had you look up. I don't know what the theme benefits are on Clockwork Legion.
One of them I think is allowing you to take more Enigma foundries, but I could be wrong on that.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe it's just FA4 now, period.
We'll check the Book of Armaments.
Yeah.
Checking the Book of Armaments.
Three, sir.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's...
It puts a good amount of troops on the table still.
Ish,
right?
Yeah. I would still eat their souls.
So Clockwork Legion, the benefits are one Convergence Warjack with a point cost. Special rules. The fill allowance of Enigma Foundry solos in the army becomes four.
Okay.
The Eradicator, Perforator, and Reciprocator units in the army gain Vengeance.
Oh.
It's kind of a big deal.
In this local meta?
Yeah. That's it. Those are the only rules for Clockwork Legion.
But basically, it's going to let you enable a little more recursion than you could otherwise.
Sure. They're also I don't even remember which units those are, but are those two medium base units and the one small base unit? I can't remember what they were.
Let me double check real quick. I will look. So let's see.
The obstructors are the small base.
Obstructors are small base. Yep. And they're the ones.
And the reciprocators are the shield wall as well.
Reciprocators are the 8-wound medium base combined melee. They also have shield wall, yeah. And they can switch their weapons.
Yeah.
So
I would not want to see it, but I am also playing a ranged heavy force, so it would kick the shit out of me. I do have a list that I'd like to talk about.
Yeah.
Excellent.
This is a Trollbuds list, and we had mentioned that we were going to go through at some point and discuss some of them. This one's one of the ones that I find most interesting, even though I'm not sure how good it is. So it's a Grim 1 list, and we just talked about Grim on the dojo last week. So my little plug for that. Anyway, so this is on Russia Aurora. His name is Nikolai. Oh, boy. Gerasimov. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sure you probably don't listen to us, but I apologize anyway. So he has a Grim 1 list. It's in Band of Heroes. I don't know what Band of Heroes does, so if someone wants to bring that up while I'm going through the list here.
Sure.
He has a Sea King, a Troll Axer, and a Rune Bearer. He has a Fellcaller Hero, a Fenblade Kithkar, a Feralgeist, a Stone Scribe Chronicler, a Trollkin Skinner, a Max Stone Scribe. Krillstone Bear and Stone Scribes, Min Stone and Scribes, and a Stone Scribe Elder. Has a full unit of champions with Scaldi and a full unit of Fenblades with Officer and Drummer.
So there's only one special rule to the Band of Heroes theme, and that is that models disabled by a melee attack made by a Trollblood Warrior model
do takedown.
Cannot make a tough roll.
Not tough. Yeah.
Okay, so with Grim 1's feat and the Sea King, which has an Animus that's offensive and pulls models in, which normally it's a little bit hard for him to hit, but with essentially plus 3 to hit, makes him his Fury stat the equivalent of 8 on the to hit roll. He can pull stuff in and then shoot it with his gun. Grim can also do that to pull stuff in. There's a whole lot of models that are quite quick here. The Fenblades, for example, and the Kithkar. And it just feels like that this is going to come in, do a bunch of damage, set the Sea King up in a position where you're going to have a hard time getting away from him. And then with long reach and rush on the Axer, he's going to be able to put it onto the Sea King and potentially close the game out. Anyway, I like it. I think it's innovative. I think it's new. It's different.
I mean, any game that gets close out with the Sea King is a win game.
I mean, the Sea King's cheaper now considerably. Right. And I think he's a little underappreciated. So.
And well, certainly after the point crop.
Yeah. Is the tough hate, is that a big deal right now? That sure. Theme benefit, I mean?
I think the RFP is the bigger part of it.
Oh, okay.
I have one last list.
We'll allow it, Jay.
So this will be pretty quick. But this is from Germany Wildsaw, which is, I think, one of the favorites to potentially win the whole event.
Okay.
So their team has Benjamin, Florian, Moritz, Robin, and Sasha. And Robin is Plane Circle. And the one that struck my eye was him playing Morvana 2. It's been a while since we've seen some Morvana 2.
True.
Okay, so he's got Morvana 2 with a Feral Warp Wolf and a Pureblood Warp Wolf. Has a Hermit of Henchhold, a Lord of the Feast. This is in Devourer's Souls, by the way. A Boilmaster. A Tharn Blood Trackers with Nuala, a Tharn Ravagers with the Chieftain, a second unit of Tharn Ravagers with Chieftain, and then a Well of Orboros. So,
how much is the Well of Orboros being used in the WTC lists?
I don't think up. It. I think he can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
just curious.
I don't think it is that much, which is kind of interesting because it's only a 10-point model. It's a decent gun, and it brings in
goodies.
Yeah.
Plus, I feel like I've seen it modeled like 1,000
different ways. Man, I saw one.
Oh, no, there's 84 of them, Jay.
84 wells?
Wells, yeah.
Interesting.
So it is getting used quite a bit, then.
How many? And it seems like there were 60 circle players. Is that right?
Let's see. How do I look that up? Yeah, 60, yes. Yeah.
So
you've got them being used in more than one list, basically, right?
Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was interesting to see a top-notch player bringing back some Morvana too.
Yeah, no, that's the goat riding Morvana, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one who was just broken AF in Mark II. You can. You need to throw in some of terms like that on your YouTube synopsis after.
I mean, the stuff that goes out on Instagram, 100%.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Keep it hip for the kiddies.
Oh my gosh!
What's the meme that's like Steve Buscemi with a skateboard? Yeah. He's like, "Hello, fellow teenagers."
Yeah.
Something like that. It's yes,
100%.
Is me.
Good cool. luck, WTC crowd.
Yeah.
Looks like you guys are going to have some fun times, if nothing else.
I don't think I told you guys this. And I'm not laughing at. I'm hopefully laughing with. But I got. Hopefully, in 2 or 3 years, they'll be able to look back on this and have it bring some humor or something.
Oh,
but
no.
I got message on Saturday. I got message from Zosia. And she's like, so within an hour of us being in Europe, Jake's backpack got stolen.
Oh no.
And it included like all
with
of
the models and stuff in it.
No.
Oh,
all these tokens.
Yeah. His tokens, his widgets, his gaming accessories, his tablet, his Microsoft Surface.
Oh,
so
was he using the tablet with War Room?
I would assume so. I don't know.
Yeah. That's all kinds of
that hurts. Yeah. Do you think he lost his move line measuring sticks, Jay?
Well, the good news is that Muse is here to save the day.
Oh, shoot.
So he will. We're actually like overnighting a set to one of his teammates, that's cool. And he will be okay.
Yeah,
he'll survive
until his next backpack gets stolen. Okay, well, Josh, do you have a dad joke for us?
Well, Jay, I learned an important scientific fact. Do you know why dogs float so well?
I don't.
Because they're good boys.
That sounds correct. I think I'll believe you.
I did see that, I guess.
I guess. Trevor, do you have anything for us?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll be back next week with some awesome content, and everyone go ahead and buy the Oblivion limited series. Be like Josh
in so many ways.
It's a good life motto.
That's right.
So on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.